Well, this is continuing on in Hebrews, and this passage begins actually with a rebuke. It's a rebuke to the Hebrew Christians for being slow in reaching maturity. And as I read here in this quote that I made up in thinking about this subject, maturity does not come by growing old, but by growing in habits of virtue. And that's what this passage is really trying to teach to us. And this is the rebuke that is given here. It says, we have much to say about this being the eternal salvation that Jesus has purchased, and how that relates to this idea of Melchizedek. And he has said more to say about Melchizedek later on. The order of Melchizedek, in other words, a priesthood that does not end, and a mediatorship that we have to have in connection with Christ as perpetual. We never outgrow it. And that's what this passage is going to point out about. But it says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, when we overhear someone that's exhorting someone else, a person that's exhorting someone, and saying, grow up, come on, you know, that's how I felt sometimes working in the emergency department, the people that I was watching, that they were behaving like children, and they were far beyond, they could be a grandparents, and yet they were behaving like children. And you want to say, it's not a professional thing as a nurse to say, but come on, grow up, you know. You might give that a report, I thought you should grow up, you know. But no, when we hear that, and we hear it in someone else, and maybe we're hearing this in this passage, we think sometimes about areas in our own life where we need to behave perhaps more maturely. And this passage, rebuke that's in this text, it may be something that we need ourselves, or maybe something that we're listening to indirectly. But when we do hear it, and especially in this text, it has something important to speak to us about our maturing and understanding the maturing that goes on in the Christian life. The job of raising mature children is not just to give them information about this world, but to help them to make wise choices in relationship to the life that is lived in this world. And that's helping them to become mature. And this is true in the way that God deals with us as His children to try to bring us to maturity. The Christian starts with faith in spiritual facts, but it must go on to discernment and deed. It must go on in practice. Our scripture text in Hebrews describes this directive of going on to maturity, and it uses an illustration of God's Word being first of all like milk, and then again like solid food. And let's look first at this milk. New believers need first of all the elementary principles, the elementary teachings. The church is like a mother in this respect, a mother to new believers. Now, healthy churches have a natural tendency or a built-in reflex to nurture or to ground new believers in the elementary teachings, in the elementary teachings I just talked about in this passage, to ground them in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's how we have all these years survived, because the church passes a baton doctrinally and gives the elementary teachings. Now, in my hospital experience, you know where I work in labor and delivery, I work in maternity, many times I'm working in postpartum, and part of my job is to teach breastfeeding, and it's a hands-on experience, it's getting in there and getting that baby to latch on. Well, God has made this built-in reflex, this built-in mechanism for mothers to let down milk, not only to produce it, but to to excrete it and to get it out to that baby. Well, it's a little hard in our culture because I have to fight this constantly. It's almost like a satanically insane thing that what has happened to the breast in our culture. It has been totally sexualized to death, so that it's an uphill battle to try to teach girls, especially younger ones. Breastfeeding is good for your baby. It's what you're made to do. This, your body's ready to do it. It's a reflex. It's natural. God built it in. The designer designed it this way, and you have to sort of fight against this breast taboo that's in this culture. Well, God has made it to be very beautiful. I don't know who. Maybe some people, the taboo has affected their mind so much that they can't look at a woman with a little newborn breastfeeding and say, oh, that's one of the most beautiful things in the world. To me, when I see that, and I have seen it a lot, I have seen it year after year after year, thousands of times, and when I see it again, it is still one of the most beautiful things to see a little newborn at its mother's breast. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And God even uses that picture of a baby at a mother's breast. He uses that picture to show his own care for newborns at the breast of the church. And he uses this in the Old Testament, using Jerusalem as that metaphor of the church, or God's people, the place of worship, the place of nurture. And he uses that as an illustration in Isaiah 66:11. Here's what he says. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. Now, today, because of that breast taboo, a lot of preachers aren't preaching on that. I'm an RN, and I am. And I'm going to let that verse be known, because God uses that illustration in this passage. Because breast milk is good food. And it's necessary for little newborns. Now, little newborns also have a built-in reflex. They have a desire to know more. You know, newborn Christians have a desire to know more about this God that they have gotten themselves involved with. They want to know more about God and His will. In fact, that's one of the first things that Christians ask when they're just new believers. What is God's will in this area? What does God want me to do? What is God's will? And say, here's the Bible. It's full of God's will for us. It's full of milk. It's full of milk. And when I see these newborns, you see within the newborns these built-in reflexes. And it helps them to latch on to their mother's breast, sometimes without any help at all. Now, I know the trick. But I have watched this film. It's a half an hour film, and it's a little bit boring, although it's an interesting subject. It's a little bit boring because it lasts for a half an hour for you to see what happens. It's a woman who delivers a baby, and they put it on her belly. They put the baby on her belly. It's without medication. That this baby is completely alert, looking around, flopping its head back and forth like this. And it inches its way, it pushes with its feet, and pushes itself up right to the breast and goes like this and goes like this and gets right on there without the mother touching the child. I watched it, and otherwise I would not have believed it. The test, the experiment has been done again and again and again. The reflex is there. It's built in, just like it is with new Christians. They are hungry, and they latch on to the breast of the church, which is supposed to give this milk. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I always tell mothers in the hospital, everything I learned about breastfeeding, I learned from a baby. You just watch the baby. And whatever they're doing, you try to get the next baby that's not doing it to do what that baby did. You know? Well, the new believers have, they live on milk. They live on it. The new believer lives on the milk, it says here, because the elementary truths of God's word are necessary for their proper growth. And some of these necessary elements are listed in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6. It says, the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. and of faith in God, instruction about baptism and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Breastfeeding is the best feeding for babies because there's stuff inside of breast milk that helps these babies be healthy, and it protects them. It protects them from allergy reactions, and it protects them from getting infected with illnesses, and it's all in the milk. These elementary teachings that are just what we call the Apostles' Creed, or the things that we pass on, these elementary teachings are not to be, we need to leave them. No, we need to be grounded in them and build on them, because they are the safety factor that has kept the church pure and kept the church orthodox all these years. Breast milk helps brain development, and it helps children to learn faster because it has elements in it that formula just cannot produce. Breast milk is made by God. Formula is made by humans. Humans fail. God doesn't. You know, so that's why I'm preaching about breastfeeding. I've taken so many hours of teaching on breastfeeding that I try to get these girls, and I see them, please don't do that formula thing. Give that baby the breast. And the church needs to give these babies breast milk. Milk right close, cuddle breast milk. And that's why it symbolizes the feminine image of God. What is in women that shows the image of God, shows the feminine spirit of nurture. And it's close to the heart, just like breastfeeding is. And women can display that physically in no better way than breastfeeding. Well, now, that's true. However, Christians don't reach maturity on milk, and neither do babies. Breast milk is like magic for growing kids, but at some point, God created teeth to take in more calories than mothers can give through breastfeeding. And so God made the breast. He designed it. It's a great thing. But he also gave these little hard things, teeth, to chew food and take in a lot more calories because kids outgrow the breast. Now, some young Christians may need to spend a longer time. And, you know, there's been an aversion several... I've watched this just in my time of being in the hospital, that there was a time when you said, nurse the baby a couple of months and then start giving him solid food. And after 3 months, and then after 6 months, you can wean them off and give them food. You know what the pediatricians are saying now? Feed them a year on the breast. That's a change. I believe they will go beyond that, because the classes that I have taken around the world, they do give the kids the vitamins and necessary things they need because they continue to breastfeed along with feeding, because they're nurturing those little ones and they need that. They need it a little bit longer sometimes than they've had it in our society. There was a little boy in the story that I heard who had an allergy problem, and the pediatrician in the emergency department said, you know, your boy would have died if you hadn't gotten here earlier. Are you breastfeeding him still? And the mother was afraid because he was a year and a half old. And she said, well, yes, I am. And she felt guilty. He said, would you please continue to do that? Because this little one needs the extra help that breast milk gives in preventing allergy reactions. So she did, until she got pregnant again. And this little boy got up on her lap and started sucking and said, yuck. Because the hormonal changes make the milk taste awful. But he still learned to breastfeed. And when the new milk came in for the next baby, he did it again. He wanted to still nurse. Well, one time, he burnt his finger outside on a lawnmower, and he ran to his mother outside and tried to pull down her blouse. And she said, no, what are you trying to do? When the little boy's hurt, he gets to nurse. And that story has stuck with me. Some Christians need a little bit longer. And sometimes we cut them off too quickly and try to give them meat and they choke on it. Well, some churches also are keeping their congregations on milk only. Refined milk, you know. Give more milk. And what it does, it keeps the church from maturing, because you see, the job of the minister is not to minister, really. The job of the minister is to equip the ministers, because the church are the ministers. They are the servants of God. And they need to be equipped to do what? Just to feed? No, to serve. To serve. So a healthy church helps the little ones to get weaned off and on solid food. So older believers, that's the next point of this passage. The movement is toward maturity. Older believers need solid food. Therefore, in verse 1 of 6, chapter 6, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Now maturity, Christian maturity, is not easily defined. I've often read different things, and when I approach this passage, I wonder, wait a minute, he's talking about the stuff that I teach about. I mean, the deep doctrines of the Word and the practices of the church, and aren't these the things that we need to emphasize? And that's milk. That's what this passage says is milk. Therefore, go on to maturity. Now, Christian maturity can be defined, a lot of people define it, and they say, well, it's knowing theology better. No, that's just understanding milk better. That's just understanding what's in the milk. How do you analyze that milk? What is the contents of that milk? And just milk by studying theology. I love theology. I love milk. Well, to be a Christian for many years, if I'm a Christian for many years, then I will be mature. Huh? I'm sorry, but you'll just be an older believer. Unless you mature by growing, as it says in virtue, in that quote that I quoted. How about, if I become a pastor, then I will be mature. Oh, the pastor's mature. The pastor may have gotten there by charisma or politics, you know. And that doesn't say anything about his maturity. I am needing maturity. I am growing in my life, and we all are. But let us go on to it. And years ago, I was talking about maturity to a brother. We were talking about these different things. It's not understanding theology better and those kind of things. Well, what is it then? And I thought of this illustration. It's like a pastor who is counseling a married couple who have problems. They describe their problems, and the certain problems they have, the pastor, instead of giving what he learned in school, turns to the Lord and says, Lord, I'm at a loss. I don't know these people totally as you know them. You know their situation. You know their true problem, even more than what they're telling me. So, Lord, give me what they need. So the Lord gives him a verse to share with them. He says, you know, I really believe you. You'll take this verse, it'll help your marriage. They take it, they practice it, and it works. It just blesses their marriage entirely. The next one comes, the next couple, they say the exact same thing. So what does he do? He turns to the Lord and says, Lord, you know this couple. You know their needs. I don't know them. And Lord, can you give me that verse that will just help them? And he gives them the same verse. And he shares it with them, and it works perfectly. He does that exact same pattern 100 times. On the 101st time, this is what he does. They come to him, they say that they share the exact same problems, almost word for word. He turns to the Lord and says, Lord, you know that I'm at a loss here. And most people would say, well, why doesn't he get a clue? God is trying to show him that it's that verse that solves that problem. That's what all the psychology books are filled with. That pastor is mature. And that is the only mature pastor, when he will not just say, oh, I have the solution for you. It's right here in this. That may not, on the 101st time, be the thing they need. And he may find out when he goes to the Lord, take them to the other part of the Bible, and I'll show you another place for this problem. That attitude of seeking the face of God on every single thing, even though you have the elementary teachings, that is maturity, and that is what this scripture shares, because God defines maturity in terms of righteousness. Righteousness. He says, anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. And that means behavior that reflects God. For God is righteous, so it reflects God. Now, babies, they inherit their parents' characteristics, like a father's nose, that baby has his father's nose, or her mother's eyes, or something like that. But they adopt, hopefully, if they're good, they adopt a parent's behavior or character, and they listen to a parent's instruction, hopefully, and adopt that, watching their parents' behavior. Well, righteousness comes from our Lord. And we need to listen to our Lord more than just the elementary principles. We need to listen to our Lord directly. We need to listen to our Lord and watch His behavior. Now, righteousness in our character is defined here in this passage in terms of discernment and action. In the New American Standard version chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Now, good and evil is a catchphrase that should remind you about something. It should remind you about another place of good and evil, way back in the Garden of Eden, where there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was forbidden. Now, Adam and Eve were just infants. They were just infants. And they were unready for solid food. In fact, they were being nurtured intimately in an intimate proximity to God. He was walking among them in the garden to lead them and guide them in what they should be doing. And it's almost that intimacy was almost just as direct as twin babies nursing at their mother's breast. If you get that picture, that was where Adam and Eve were. They were babies. They were just needing milk. And they needed to stay on milk until it was time to be weaned. And Satan knew that. And he got them to eat solid food off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which had been placed in the garden by God and called good by God, but forbidden at this point. God said, "You eat that, you'll die." And what did they do? They ate it and they choked to death. They choked to death. And we have inherited that death. That is why we need the life that comes from Christ. When Jesus came, He showed us how to eat solid food. He showed us what the good and the evil, how we can discern between them. And how did He do that? He knew that everybody already had the elementary principle. But He showed us something else. You need to put the will of God first. What did He say in John 4, verse 34? He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." And how did Jesus know that will? Because He had heard it, the rabbis teach it in the synagogue, and He knew the elementary principles? No, that was milk. Jesus was talking here about solid food, about discerning between what is right and what is wrong. How can I do righteousness in this situation? And He learns by seeing and imitating what God is doing in every situation. He was watching for His Father's will. He was listening for His Father's voice. In John 5, verse 19, it says, Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son of God can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." In other words, not just that the Son has inherited the characteristics, but He's inherited the character of His Father by watching the Father and following the Father, and that is how we are to mature in Christianity. We are like breastfeeding babes that are being weaned off, but we never leave our mother. Our mother still feeds us at the table, right? Not the breast anymore, solid food. But this bonding that happens, it forms a tie that should go on, even after the weaning process. And the feeding of the milk of the Word must become, and must as you say, endear us. It must form a bond to us, not just to the milk of the Word, but to the God of the Word. We must be bonded to the God of the Word. There's a thing called maternal bonding that happens between babies and mothers. It's a very precious, nurturing thing that helps babies' brains to grow. And it has to happen for them to have a healthy growth emotionally. Same thing with Christians. We need that close, nurturing, caring, comforting at the breath of the church so that we'll be ready to bond and that we will bond with the God of the church. The Christian starts with faith, must go on to the practice of discernment and good deeds. Faith begins on milk, but we learn to make righteous choices on solid food, discerning between what is good and evil. And that discernment is never, and it will never be independent from God, which is what Adam and Eve received, that independence in their knowledge of the good and evil. No. Christian maturity is like the pastor that turns to God in every situation and says, Lord, I'm at a loss here. Yes, I know all the truths that you taught me before, but in this situation, what is your will? In this situation, what is right? In this situation, what will work? Adam and Eve, they failed that. Jesus Christ came to bring it back. It only works in an ongoing relationship, an ongoing intimacy with our Creator, which has been made available to us through Christ for us on the cross. And this is the maturity that God wants. And this is the maturity that we need to pursue. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you've given us this understanding of our relationship with you and how it begins and how it should continue. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to be more mature. Many times we are in need of milk. We need to learn over again the elementary teachings when we should be breastfeeding others. We should be helping others, little newborn Christians, to grow. And Lord, I pray that will be the case, that we will be mature enough to help others to get latched on to the nurture of the Word of God. And I pray, Father God, that you'd help us as Christians to reach out and be more mature in our relationships with each other, more mature in our relationship with you, by being intimate with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.